Groundwire Project, which is a news and training project run out of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. I started as a volunteer about 10 years ago, and then I started working as a staff at community radios about 5 years ago.
What do you see CKLN's role to be in the Water Toronto community?
Well, you know, there's a couple other community radio stations in Toronto, but I feel like they serve, you know, very specific communities. And it's also a really crowded radio market. Southern Ontario in general has very little available signal space and is actually one of the busiest radio markets in North America. I think it's third or fourth. CKLN serves a very specific community in Toronto, and they've done that very well for 27 years. Up until very, very recently, they had really good student involvement from progressive student groups on the Ryerson campus. But because they've been around so long, they also have a lot of really established networks in the Afro-Caribbean community, in the Latin South American community in Toronto, as well as from their news programming standpoint. For a number of years, they had some really strong coordination going on progressive news and local news and really getting volunteer reporters on the ground.
Well, so they've got a wide range of voices being heard and spoken to. Given that they've been so highly regarded in the world of community radio and had such a long-standing tradition of really quality programming, what was your initial response to the CRTC decision?
Personally, I felt it was somewhat heavy-handed and unexpected. I felt like what people were receiving for advice and what people were looking to expect based on maybe precedent or how far they had come, steps that were taken to rectify the matter, I think people did not expect the license to be revoked. I think they anticipated fines or suspension.
And given your experience in community radio, have you ever seen anything similar to this occur? Do you think this is...
So in terms of the CRTC decision, in my experience, no, I've not seen a license revoked. I have seen people get, you know, disciplinary documents and have to respond to those. So the CKLN situation is unique in one aspect of that. The problems were protracted over time such that people were unable to answer some of the CRTC's requests. So that was unique. But some of the other issues are not unique. And so it's useful to talk about that as a sector because you can isolate CKLN and say, this is your problem. But in point of fact, what happened, I think, stems from a couple of things that almost all the community stations I've interacted with at some point in their history have dealt with. So those things would be connections on campus. So sometimes, for whatever reason, the student groups that support the radio station, you know, student groups get new people all the time and new staff all the time. So for whatever reason, if those student groups or on-campus support, sometimes it's even from the university administration itself. So if those types of supports are eroded, what you see is a campaign against the student levies that support campus radio, because it's also erroneously told to them that the campus station is you know, entirely funded by student fees. Usually, typically, that's about a third of their budget, so a really important part of their budget, but not their whole budget.
Okay.
So that was one thing.
And if I'm not mistaken, Ryerson had committed to continue funding in the report.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's like some of the comments that we've read in the newspaper that they weren't engaging with students or that they didn't have a lot of student support. So I think that's one of the things that's common to the sector.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the other problems I think that are common to community radio is... or not even community radio, not-for-profits that function with volunteer boards. That sometimes happens that boards cannot possibly see eye-to-eye on a vision for their organization. That happens outside of community radio, too, in all kinds of volunteer sectors.
How this news has affected Groundwire?
Groundwire is really sad to hear about it because we had a lot of interaction with CKLN, especially over the summer. We came up with a really good plan, or they came up with a really good plan, to open their station during the G20. And to co-organize with the Toronto Media Co-op and the Alternative Media Center during the G20. So they were a huge source of disseminating information and producing reports. And then beyond that, they even volunteered to produce, I think it was 2 special editions on the G20.
Wow.
So we were so grateful to have that.
So that would be...
And they had such a good team. They have such a good team of progressive volunteer reporters. I mean, I know those people will find meaningful work elsewhere, but it would just be such a shame to lose having them all in one place, mm-hmm. having all these talented people gather at one station. In the face of a lot of difficulty, over a protracted period of time, like you would say to yourself, it's been a couple years. Is there anyone left at CKLN? There's tons of people left. And there's people signing up, new volunteers. So I went to the AGM on Monday night, and there's new volunteers. There's people who've been with the station for 20 years, and they're not leaving. So what I would take for every station is your volunteers are your heart and your soul, and during tough times, they'll see you through.
Okay, vous écoutez CKUT 90 3 à Montréal.
Ok, oh, merci beaucoup.
Yeah, this is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali.
My name is Murphy Brown. I've been involved with CKLN a little over a decade.
Okay, my name's Paul Corby, and I have a show on CKLN called Corby's Orbit.
Hi there. My name is Miss Barbara Fish. I am the hostess and programmer of Satan Takes a Holiday.
My name's Anna Sani. I'm a co-host and co-producer at the Collective Frequency Feminism's Women Powered Radio.
Tell me what happened. I want to hear it all.
You sure?
There was a fairly dark period we went through where firings of staff were common, especially the big-name people who were doing unique shows were being let go. Denise Benson was let go by email, for instance, while she was on vacation.
The best way I can put it is to compare it to a military coup, that there was a faction within CKLN who, for whatever reasons and whatever personal interest they had, decided that really, in a very militaristic fashion, they wanted to take over the station.
I like to describe it as the battle of ideas. One group was more egalitarian and another group was more corporate, and temporarily the corporate forces took over and began to fire many, many, many programmers and replace them with their own people.
What do you want, Derek?
I'm listening to my radio, Derek!
Some people were quitting out of sympathy with the programmers who had lost their jobs. There were demonstrations in front of the station. The people who were left in charge were probably the kind of people you don't want in charge of things.
These people were pro-corporate. They were corporate wannabes. They wanted to basically open the station up for business, you know, watering down the content.
It became very hostile at the station, and the focus really changed from, like, community atmosphere. The station really changed over that period. It was much more of a focus on corporate-style radio rather than the programming that CKLN has been known for.
Powerful interests, particularly big corporate interests, have literally taken over this
radio, Derek!
I really do not want to go over the traumatizing events that led up to the lockout.
They took advantage of a structure within CKLN that was already within a state of change. Our program director was leaving. We had a station manager whose unprofessionalism was yet to be uncovered. They just sort of took the station by storm.
They ruled with temper tantrums, blank expressions on their faces when issues came up.
There were some very toxic individuals who wormed their way into the core of the station. And from there, sort of found people that they wanted to be on the board. It was not a democratic process, and CKLN is a station that is founded on the utmost principles of democracy. And it was, again, really very, very, very comparable to a militaristic coup. And all of these people are now banned from the CKLN premises. There are legal orders banning them from, you know, the actual property within a 50-meter boundary of the property.
Cool tastes so clean, so refreshing, so cool.
As cool and as clean as a breath of fresh air.
We have elected a new board of directors. They have been an amazing group of people, volunteering their time as a working board. They are on call practically 24/7 because since the lockout, since we've been back, there have been several problems with the equipment because of lack of money to get the equipment up to where the standard that they're supposed to be at for operating. Sometimes we are calling them at ridiculous hours, and they have done an amazing job.
It was amazing, yes, because it was like this renewed energy. We had a huge AGM, and to me, it was the renaissance of CKLN.
Oh, people were doing their shows, trying to get back together, trying to get everything back together. They brought in new programmers and brought back all the, first of all, they brought back, offered all of the people that had lost their shows back, and most of them, with the exception of a few, came back. And we were going along.
We have an all-volunteer board who really stepped up to clean up the mess that was our station. We have an all-volunteer board who really stepped up to clean up the mess that was our station.
And they have done an amazing job. So it was a shock to find out that the CRTC made the decisions that they made in spite of all the work that dedicated volunteers, including the board, of course, have been making such an effort to ensure that this station stays alive.
It was just, when we got our license back, it was a renewed sense of community and family within the CKLN family. This is us. We're back together. We're back on air. Our loyal listeners were more behind us than ever, and our communities were absolutely rejuvenated and enthusiastic that we were back. It really honestly reminded me of the 90s. It was just this amazing spirit of positivity. And some people, you know, took on a phenomenal amount of responsibility on the board. And some people weren't necessarily educated in all of the duties that they had to perform. On top of which, they were trying to get caught up on the mistakes that were made by people who were on boards before them and actually paid staff who were corrupt before them. So this board is trying to make up for the mistakes of people who preceded them, like correct mistakes that they themselves did not actually make, and simultaneously keep on top of the new the new demands that the CRTC was piling on. And that is combined with the fact that understandably, the Ryerson Students Union, because we're part of, we're housed at Ryerson University, Ryerson Students Union held back the student fees. We get $10 from every student, which adds up to something like $250,000, which is the vast majority of our operating budget. So we had basically zero budget. We couldn't hire someone to do all of this back work. These were volunteers.
I'm listening to my radio.
I mean, I can't even really wrap my head around the huge loss to our community, to not only locally in Toronto, but to community radio and to independent media making that would entail.
But it's not just that CKLN was the first station to have a hip-hop radio show. CKLN was also the first station to have a pure, extreme underground metal radio show. And let me tell you, when I travel globally, when people find out I'm from Canada, they universally talk about these bands, the Brian Taylor of Aggressive Rock, a show at CKLN, bands that he produced. They're, oh, Canada, Razor!
Catch the Flavor with
Metal Chatter.
Choose the Word of Mouth.
Saturday Morning Live.
Hooray for Tuesday.
Radioactive Feminism.
Corby's Orbit.
And all we need to do is fight this.
You know, this decision by the CRTC is not the end of CKLN. We've been fighting for our station for so long. And you know, we are strong at the station, and we're not considering, you know, this as a final defeat. This is just, I think it's fuel to our fire.
Okay, CKLN is a musical bonfire for people to come in out of the cold, feel some warmth, and start to share what they themselves know, their own unique personalities. And we are going to continue to stay there and keep the temperature warm enough for freedom to flourish in Toronto. The end.
This is Red at CKUT.
It's on? It's on?
CKUT
90.3 FM.
This is Kyle. What? 90.3.
On Friday, January the 28th, the Canadian Radio and Television Commission, also known as the CRTC, decided to revoke CKLN's broadcasting license. The CRTC decision is a threat to all campus community radio stations. If you care about campus community radio and want to keep CKLN on the air, here's three things you can do.
CKLN is seeking support for donations from people in order to pay for legal fees. The donation link is cklnfm/funfestdonation.
CKLN is asking people to write their federal MP and ask them to help CKLN in their fight. You can find the procedures to contact your MP at ckln.fm.
CKLN has an online petition. Please visit cklnfm for the link to that petition.
Support CKLN, Toronto's oldest campus station, and support campus community radio across the country.
Doing good. Remember that.
My name's Murphy Brown. I've been involved with CKLN for a little over a decade. I started at CKLN as a co-host of a feminist show, Radioactive Feminism, and this was about 1998 or so. And then in 2004, I was a co-host with them, and I also briefly co-hosted the Unheard Voice of the African Woman, which was also a feminist show. And then in 2004, August, I began to co-host Choose the Word of Mouth, which is a half-hour program on Tuesday nights. Right after my program is another spoken word program, which is hosted by a group of youth from Regent Park, which is one of the lower-income neighborhoods in Toronto. So I have been involved with CKLN, as I said, for about a little over a decade. The programming that we have been doing that includes the opportunity for marginalized people to have a voice, that will disappear. And we will have mostly corporate radio. And the unique programming that CKLN provides with the opportunity for groups like Catch the Flavor, which has been around for, I don't know, more than 15 years. Catch the Flavor is the program that's on right after my program on Tuesday nights, where young people from high school age and up have a voice. And I don't think that's available at any other radio station in Toronto. That will be gone. We do not give up. As Bob Marley, who is one of my favorite musicians, said, get up, stand up, stand up for your right. We have to stay strong. We have to keep going. Now is not the time to give up.
So my name is Candace Morris. I have been involved in campus and community radio for a long time, about 14 years, and I've been volunteering with a small collective called Frequency Feminisms. When I was the spoken word coordinator at CKDU in Halifax, I was paying very close attention to CKLN's programming. I was really inspired by their International Women's Week. I thought that it was unique. The restructuring at CKLN definitely was a process. It was taking a long time, as these things should, I think, when there are all kinds of new questions to consider, like what happens when all of these volunteer programmers are locked out and then suddenly can gain access to the airwaves again. I mean, who is going to decide where people are going to be slotted into the program grid? Is it just going to be a free-for-all? How is this going to unfold? So all of these questions that we didn't really need to consider before were being asked. So, that was definitely a long process. We were successful recently in raising over $50,000. I think that speaks to community support and what people at CKLN are capable of. And CKLN was also on the verge of hiring a station manager. So things were starting to look up. Things were happening. Things were just starting to get better. You know, it takes a long time to undo years of damage. It takes a long time to mend broken fences. I was shocked when I heard the decision. Yeah, I don't know where else people are going to get to hear shows like Frequency Feminisms or OCAP Radio or Known as Illegal Radio or Anti-Psychiatry Radio or all of the other amazing programming that takes place on the airwaves at CKLN. But I think not only are we losing this community media, we're also losing the space. Well, it's just not going to be the same. When you go to a radio station, you meet all kinds of interesting people, and a lot of the learning happens within CKLN's spaces. So you can have conversations with people from all walks of life. As a student, yeah, for me, CKLN, being involved with Frequency Feminisms, it was one of the favorite parts of my week, and now I don't know what I'm going to be doing on Sunday mornings. I would say keep on fighting the good fight. Keep supporting community radio. CKLN is going to try to fight this from a legal perspective. And I have hope that, this decision can be reversed somehow and all will be well.
Sing a little song. my name's Anna Sani. I'm a co-host and co-producer at the Collective Frequency Feminism's Women Powered Radio. We air every Sunday, 10:30 to noon, on CKLN 88.1 FM. I've been with the show since 2007, I believe, and actually our show has a long history on CKLN in its previous incarnation at Radioactive Feminism. It's been on the station for about a decade, I think. But I got in just before the lockout and have been programming ever since.
What does Toronto lose?
I mean, I can't even really wrap my head around the huge loss to our community, to not only locally in Toronto, but to community radio and to independent media making that would entail. In locally speaking, CKLN is composed of community members, you know, everyone from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, No One Is Illegal, Our Collective Frequency Feminism, Anti-Psychiatry Radio. These are people in the community that are doing work on the ground to make change and also using this opportunity, our shows as a platform to bring attention to the very important issues that regular people in Toronto experience, and it's not something that we see on the FM dial in Toronto, and even in the music programming, it's so diverse and it's so representative of all the different cultures and communities that are local to our city, that, you know, it's just unprecedented what we provide in terms of programming. You know, just speaking on our show alone, I don't think that I've seen any radio program that really covers feminist issues from the perspective of women of color, of poor women, of sex workers, of undocumented women, really covering the issues that affect women all over our city and all over our world. We provide like international programming, as well as the stuff that's happening and affecting our lives right outside of our front door. So there's really no replacing CKLN, and I can't believe that the CRTC would stand by a decision that's so obviously doing a disservice to our community, and to not only to the community locally, but also our listeners that tune in online, and all of the community of media makers that are invested in what we do at CKLN.
And if you could have just a little platform to send a message to your fellow community radio broadcasters, to your brothers and sisters at CKLN, to all the people of Toronto, to the people of Montreal who are going to be listening to this, what would it be?
I mean, I would just say that, you know, this decision by the CRTC is not the end of CKLN. We've been fighting for our station for so long. We are strong at the station, and we're not considering, you know, this as a final defeat. This is just, I think it's fuel to our fire. It's really, if we want to think about it as in an optimistic way, you know, the CRTC, by making this decision that's so obviously faulty, has really inspired us to work harder and to recognize the incredible worth that we bring to the airwaves, and to really band together to stand up for community radio in our city and you know, internationally, to really come together as a community to express how important it is to liberate our radios and to keep the radio waves free, and to really bring our community and our issues and our voices to the airwaves. Thank you so much for covering this issue and for your support.
And we're back on CKUT 90.3 FM in the last half hour of our special three-hour broadcast about CKLN and the CRTC decision to revoke their license. You just heard three voices from Frequency Feminisms, Candace Murphy, and Anna, talking about CKLN and its position in the Toronto community. Courtney, you got something to tell me?
Yeah, we've got a petition here that CKLN organized. You can get to it by going to ckln.fm. And basically, we're trying to get 3,333 signatures by 3 p.m. today when our special broadcast ends. And what are we at right now, Jess?
We're at 3,110, so we have a lot of typing to do in the next half hour, dear CKUT listeners.
223 signatures we're asking for from you. So far, our listeners have given us 110 just over the last 2.5 hours. And Jess, maybe you can read some of the comments that have been coming up.
Yeah, here's one. Community radio unites different communities together with spoken word and music, seldom if ever made available on corporate or government radio. The CRTC has made a grave decision. Obviously, they have not thought about how these communities will be affected. The CRTC's decision rings loud and clear that they don't care. Then there's an interesting one from Jesse King. It says, CKLN has been an extremely important outlet for my music, which has led to a Juno win and 3 Juno nominations. Without stations such as CKLN, this would not be possible. Thus, it is very important to foster existing and future talent from diverse musical and cultural backgrounds.
So a lot of support for CKLN. You can also go to their website and get more information about writing a letter to the CRTC, about writing a letter to your MPs in a big collective effort to reverse this decision. To listen back to this three-hour broadcast or the hour broadcast we did last week on Radio is Dead from 2 to 3 on the 31st Monday, you can go to our CKUT archives, which are at www.ckut.ca, and the shows that we preempted for the special protest broadcast were World Skip the Beat and Radio is Dead.
And now we're going to go to an interview with Shelley Robinson from the NCRA about some of the policy surrounding campus community radio and the decision that was given by the CRTC.
After a review of CKLN's adherence to broadcast policy, the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission revoked CKLN's license to broadcast, effective February 12th. I spoke with Shelley Robinson at the National Campus and Community Radio Association about the effects of this ruling on the Toronto community and non-commercial radio at large. So I have a few questions for you. What is the mandate of CRTC, and what are their policies?
Oh, goodness. Well, the CRTC is the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission. So they're the federal body that regulates broadcasting and telecom. So that's everything from, well, right now there's the huge fight about usage-based billing with the Internet. So that's a decision that they made. And then also they regulate broadcasting, so TV and radio. So in the context of what we do at community radio, there is a campus and community radio policy, and then there's also other broadcasting regulations. And so they just came out with a new policy for us that we, you know, had some role in creating because we intervened and talked about our positions, and stations from all across the country presented. So, so we have a campus and community radio policy. And in the case of CKLN, there's also, like I said, general broadcasting kind of standards. So you have to play a certain amount of Canadian content. You have to, there's a whole range of things. You have to submit annual forms that talk about what you do. You have to track everything that's played on the station. You have to track certain kinds of information, what categories of music it is, all of those kinds of things. You have to play an ID once an hour.
Maybe, do you know why the Canadian government implemented such a commission? Is there a history of...
Oh, goodness. There must be. I mean, obviously, there must be a history. But I don't know what it is. I think it's probably I mean, it's a good thing to have a commission that's independent from the government itself. So there's like 10 commissioners, and they're appointed by government, but they all have experience in one way or another with the field. And it also means that they come in during different administrations. So, I think that it's useful. We wouldn't necessarily want our decisions to either just go to bureaucrats who, you know, we wouldn't have any capacity to talk to, or to just go directly to politicians who, you know, have political concerns and maybe don't understand all the issues and don't have the time to get brought up to speed. But I'm sure that there is a lengthy history about, you know, why they were formed.
And then this is maybe an obvious question, but or something that could be answered in many different ways, but... Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, what does the revocation of CKLN's license mean for the community in Toronto?
Sure. I think that's a great question. In fact, I think it's the most important question. And what it means is that, so CKLN has been going for 27 years, 28, in fact. And in that time, well, right now they have 170 volunteers and thousands of listeners. And so when you start to do the math and you think about all the programs that they host and have hosted and all the voices from the community that they give space on air and all the issues that they discuss and all the new artists that they play, I mean, it's just to lose that means that Toronto loses access to all of those things. It loses access to a space for people to go in and get involved. It loses access to some of the information that they're presenting. You know, there was a great show on CKLN, Alan Jones, he actually presented at the CRTC hearing about whether to revoke the license, and he does a show, centers a lot around black issues, but particularly around health, and there are some serious health concerns that more specifically affect black people, and nobody talks about it in mainstream media, of course. And so he's serving his community very directly by giving them really important information that they need to know, and so that's gone. And, you know, there's a feminist collective there, and it's got all kinds of different voices. That's gone. You know, there's just so much programming, and that is just all gone. And it's shocking.
A journalist speculated in Now magazine that this hasty revocation was related to CRTC's conflicts with the Harper government over Fox News North.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is a plausible correlation?
I can tell you that there was a dissent. So it was a five-panel, a five-person panel. So there were five commissioners there who heard everyone's interventions and they speaking on behalf and against the station, and they, you know, looked at all the evidence. And one of those commissioners, Louise Poirier, dissented, and she wrote a three-page dissent about why she thought that they took such a drastic step. And she said she thought it was too much, and she said she did some research, and in fact, it was the first time in Canadian broadcasting history that she could find that it's happened. So, I mean, CKLN had problems, for sure, right? But they were on the road to fixing them and were basically back in compliance. So given that this has never happened before, and that they were on the right road, I don't know what happened. I can't speculate about sort of internal political motivations, but what I can say is that that's odd, you know? I mean, if a CRTC commissioner herself is saying, I did the research and we've never done this before, and it seems harsh, and when you think about it, why would they want to be extra harsh on a community broadcaster? You know, like, if anyone deserves a little bit of slack, it's people who are, you know, working with volunteers, who are themselves mostly volunteer-driven. It's hard to be perfect when your mandate is to be as open as possible. You know, people are going to make mistakes because they're learning. So, you know, and the other thing that people are talking about is Toronto is a very crowded market. And so, you know, if CKLN goes, there will be more space. And somebody might want to expand into that space. So it's hard to say. And I wouldn't, want to say one way or the other what the political motivations are. But all I can say definitively is even the CRTC themselves says, you know, or a commissioner said, this is the first time it seems like we've done this. Why were we being so harsh? And that's my same question.
The next question I'm going to ask is sort of related to that. And it's a little bit pessimistic, but I was just wondering, you said available frequencies are becoming scarce as evidenced by also there's been a recent frequency swap of Vancouver's CFRO co-op radio and CKPK,
yep,
the Peak FM.
Mm-hmm.
And commercial stations have the resources to win out because they they can pay for the frequencies. Do you see this predominance of commercial radio as a rising trend? And does this mark the decline of community radio?
I'm at the NCRA, and so my job, in to some degree, is to say, well, look at everything that community radio is doing. But additionally, I started as membership coordinator roughly 2 years ago, and I think we had 58 members. Now we have 83. Last couple months, we've probably written 5 letters of support for stations that are either new or had developmental licenses and now want to become regular stations. So it's true that in Toronto, it's a really crowded market. I don't think it's a trend that commercial radio is kind of, you know, the big player, because they always have been. If anything, I think that we're making gains. So that decision that came out, the new campus and community radio policy that came out in July, included the CRTC mandated commercial broadcasters who pay something called Canadian Content Development, CCD, and they do that because they're using public airwaves. So if they make a certain amount of money, they have to give back. So they give back to Factor, which supports musicians. They can give back to their local communities in specific ways. Well, now they also have to give some of that money to the Community Radio Fund of Canada. That money then goes on to stations. That's amazing. You know, so, I mean, we're looking at new stations popping up all the time, particularly in communities that are underserved. So one of the things that's happening with commercial radio is that they're closing up or they're regionalizing so that, you know, they don't have a lot of local content in some places anymore. And people are sick of it. Imagine if you woke up in the morning and you're not hearing about weather or traffic or accidents that even happen in your community. You know, it's completely irrelevant. So now community stations are stepping up and saying, yeah, well, we're going to fill that gap. You know, we're going to draw folks from the community, and we're going to tell them what's happening. So we have a brand new member station there in Cochrane, Ontario, and their 911 service went out. And so they were able to broadcast like 4 times in an hour. They broadcast, okay, 911 service is out. It's because their long distance was out, and their 911 was a long distance number, ironically. So they were like, call the local fire department if you have problems. They were able to get the word out. That's not something commercial broadcasters can do. So do I think it's tough, especially in urban centers? I do. Do I think that the CFRO, I think the CFRO frequency swap is a different thing. I think that's a station, you know, trying to make a calculated decision for its future. And so that's like a sort of different question. But I think, yeah, I think community radio is doing really well. Now, is this a huge setback for with CKLN? It is. It's so disappointing to have come so far, to have so much motivation, to have just been giving funding for the sector, and then to see the commission be so harsh on a station that is, you know, really in all good faith trying so hard to do a good job and is doing a good job. That's really, yeah, that's disappointing, but that's why we're doing everything we can to get the word out. You didn't ask me what's next. So I can say so the CRTC has revoked their license. It's not necessarily the last word. So I know CKLN is checking out if they're going to appeal to the courts. There's also other possibilities. There's no right of appeal within the CRTC. That decision is final, but there are other places you can go. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's over for CKLN. And, I mean, there's also the possibility that they could continue as internet broadcasters. That's not ideal, but it might be something that they could do at least for a while. I think that there's just a number of different options. And the point is that when you have people who have come together and been serving Toronto so faithfully for so long, you just, you know, we have to do everything we can to kind of keep them going. Community radio stations, because we're trying to do something that's, it's hard work, right? To be super open and equitable and democratic and collective and all of those things, that's hard work. So sometimes you're going to have people who, you know, have issues.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Okay, thanks so much.
And that was an interview done by CKUT's Nick Esterer with the executive director of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Shelley Robinson. She was speaking about what's happening and what's the NCRA's perspective. What's that sort of the umbrella group of all campus community radios? We are going to go now to an interview that was conducted with Barbara Fitch. Oh. Yeah, but first, But first, where are we at in the count? We're not quite at 3,333, but we're getting there.
Yeah, we're at 3,119 signatures on the petition to save CKLN. You can find that at ckln.fm. And I just want to say, if you were listening to the interview with Shelley, you heard that they have to go to the Ontario Supreme Court to make an appeal. And things like Louise Poirier's dissenting opinion and this petition will be really important for that. So we're just going to play a little PSA to explain how you can get involved with helping CKLN stay on the airwaves. This is extremely important if you're listening to CKUT right now and are interested in community radio. And after that, we'll hear Barbara, who is a metal music programmer at CKLN.
On Friday, January the 28th, the Canadian Radio and Television Commission, also known as the CRTC, decided to revoke CKLN's broadcasting license. The CRTC decision is a threat to all campus community radio stations. If you care about campus community radio and want to keep CKLN on the air, here's three things you can do.
CKLN is seeking support for donations from people in order to pay for legal fees. The donation link is cklnfm/funfestdonation.
CKLN is asking people to write their federal MP and ask them to help CKLN in their fight. You can find the procedures to contact your MP at ckln.fm.
CKLN has an online petition. Please visit CKLN-FM for the link to that petition.
Support CKLN, Toronto's oldest campus station, and support campus community radio across the country. Doing good.
Remember that. What? My radio stuck on CKUT. I don't know. But nah, fix it. CKUT. The number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
Hi there, my name is Miss Barbara Fish. I am the hostess and programmer of Satan Takes a Holiday, which is a metal radio show which has been on air for over 16 years. But I have been a programmer and on-air personality with CKLN for over 20 years. I've been with the station for 25 years. You know, I was in high school when I started volunteering at the station. And it just was like this amazing bastion of freedom and information and knowledge and free expression and, you know, radical democracy. And it was such an enlightening, wonderful place to be. And I think that a lot of us who are lifers, quote unquote, felt that way. And CKLN, 25 years ago, started a program called Aggressive Rock, hosted by Brian Taylor, who produced some of the most important metal bands in history. He is a tremendous pioneer. And that radio show that he started has gone through many different hosts in the ensuing decades. But that show is currently programmed by three different crews. There's also Smoke and Green, which is another stoner rock, another type of metal. And then my show, Satan Takes a Holiday, which is more of a broad cross-section of extreme metal. So those are the three radio shows in Toronto which air metal, extreme metal, extreme underground, non-mainstream metal on the radio, and all three of those will be killed. So the community that I speak for and the community that I come from is pretty horribly wounded. A lot of people are actually still very working class and still actually utilize the free available FM frequencies. For a genre of music which doesn't get any mainstream play at all, and for a musical community which is already completely marginalized, we're stereotyped as being illiterate and, you know, drunken thugs. What all of our shows do, and we talk about the technique and, you know, the musical precision in a lot of these pieces that we play. We talk about the cultural relevance of these musics from, you know, faraway lands, and how there's connectivity between Canada and Norway and Brazil and Australia. But it's not just that CKLN was the first station to have a hip-hop radio show. CKLN was also the first station to have a pure, extreme underground metal radio show. And let me tell you, when I travel globally, when people find out I'm from Canada, they universally talk about these bands, the Brian Taylor of Aggressive Rock, a show at CKLN, bands that he produced. They're, oh, Canada, Razor, Slaughter. They're like this. They're so excited. This is what CKLN has said. CKLN has also produced one of Canada's most vanguard politicians, Adam Vaughan, who was one of the most progressive, most outspoken, most forthright politicians for social justice. He was CKLN station manager for many years. There are CBC radio personalities that came out of CKLN. CKLN is a hotbed and a breeding ground for not only music, but for politics and for culture in general, as is all community radio across this great nation. And to lose the most well-known community radio station in the nation's largest city is a huge loss. All it takes is one simple statement: I will refuse. We can win. We have to win. It's not an option to give in. They didn't even give us a chance to do what we said that we would do.
I slept too little and drank too much.
Anyway, get out of bed like this. Oh, Christ.
Rise and shine with CKUT 90.3 FM.
And we're in the final moments of the protest broadcast for CKLN here on CKUT Radio. It's a 3-hour broadcast. We started at noon. We're ending at 3. We're trying to get 333 more signatures in the petition. We started at 3,000. And it's about 8 minutes to 3. So on the line with us, our last guest is Don Weitz. Don has been a volunteer programmer at CKLN for over a decade. He's been host and producer of the program Anti-Psychiatry Radio, originally titled Shrink Wrap. The show featured informed opinion, commentary, and criticism of the psychiatric system and community-based alternatives in Canada. The program content often has exclusive interviews, dissident commentaries with psychiatric survivors and anti-psychiatrist activists, as well as nationally respected academics, feminists, and mental health lawyers. I'm going to turn over to my co-host, Stefan. You can take over the mic.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you very much for calling.
I just want to ask you, I remember you because I went to that special broadcast you did in March there about reclaiming your CKLN.
Oh, yes. That was a couple years ago, I think, this March, right? I think it was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you for support. I really appreciate the strong support of CKUT. I really appreciate that.
So, like that, can you explain what your thoughts about the decision of the CRTC?
Well, yeah, we're certainly trying to stop to put a legal stay on. I can't talk about the legal issues because our board is handling that. But we're trying to reverse the decision of the CRTC to take away our license, in which many of us, or virtually all of us, feel is most unjust, uncalled for, and a really draconian, punch in the stomach. So.
Yeah, I understand it. I felt bad to hear that happen. So like,
well, but the the fight's not over. We should. We have a lawyer that's trying to appeal their decision, and we hope to hear what the judge's decision is later this week.
So like that. Can you explain about your show you do on CKLN?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's it was twice a month for a half hour each. It's your co-host got it absolutely right. It's anti-psychiatry radio, and what I do is try to present all alternative views on the so-called mental health system, mainly from psychiatric survivors, whom I refuse to call consumers because there's very little choice in the system. And I am definitely opposed to the system, and I want to see it abolished. And so the people that come on my show are not just very, very critical, but many are totally opposed, like myself, to the system, mainly because psychiatrists harm and often permanently injure people, traumatize people with forced drugging, electroshock, and locking people up without a hearing or trial.
Is
called
there
involuntary committals. So the whole system, the psychiatric system, is based on fear, force, and fraud, and that's what I'm trying to expose.
Is there any shows like this on other stations?
No, this is the only, as far as I know, this is the only program, my anti-psychiatry radio program, is the only one of its kind in Canada. Although I wish there were more. If there are some, I'd like to know about.
So this is why we should keep CKLN on air.
Well, definitely, because CKLN reaches out to and helps to empower psychiatric survivors who are edited out of mainstream media like the CBC. So we try to, so this is a station that speaks to and exposes social justice issues and human rights violations like no other station.
Okay, Don. It's the last thing I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, okay.
To talk to other people to sign the petition and say why we should keep CKLN. You want to say something?
Well, definitely. We have to stay on the air. This is a life and death situation, because by signing the petition, you are saying yes to alternative community campus radio, and we need that, because there's so many lies and misinformation going on in the mainstream. But we have to keep this in, because this is a question of the right to freedom of expression, to freedom of opinion, and the right to dissent, and that's under attack. And this is a human rights, a civil rights fight. And so, if CKLN loses its license, who is next?
Yeah. Okay, Don, I got to let you go. Thanks a lot.
You go. Okay, thanks for calling, Stefan. I hope to see you again.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And that was Don Weitz from Shrink Wrap, a programmer at CKLN. Thanks to Stefan for doing that interview for us. And that concludes our 3-hour protest broadcast to keep CKLN on the airwaves.